Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
My wife is always nice to me. She tried to remind me things. Without my wife, what can I do? I cannot do much. Hallelujah. I love you, Da. I'm not doing this public. I tell her at home. Last night I came home from surgery and I tell her, Da, I fall in love with you. When I drove home last night, I was driving on 405. I just, cannot wait to see your face. I just fall in love with you. I'm serious. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. I really mean it. I was sitting in the car. I just love my wife. She's a wonderful woman. And when I come home, I say to her that, Da, I love you. I fall in love with you. You look more beautiful every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Or the husband. You do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Before I preach this message, which continue in the area of the Holy Spirit, the Lord spoke to me that, you know, the church or the kingdom of God is the spiritual kingdom. Is that right? We are worshiping God who is spirit. And we come to Him and we try to get to know Him, and He is the spirit. And in our life, we have body, physical body. We have mind or soul. And we need both. We need the body. We need the mind and the soul to understand. We read. We watch movie. We listen. We use our mind to understand and comprehend and think and evaluate and make decision. Before you walk across a street, you need to use your mind to look at the car, make sure the car will not hit you. When you drive, you use your mind to think what you're going to do while you're driving. So we need the mind. And actually, you can go to buy a book from self-help book or go to any seminar to teach you how to tune up your mind and be sharp in your mind and do this and all the principle how you can make the right decision. And we preach that kind of sermon too. And we try to teach you, because the Word of God says that the Word of God will renew your mind. Is that right? But the Lord speak to me to tell you that the church is not only about the mental institution. This is not a mental institution. This is not a place, I'm sorry to say that. This is not a place just to train you physically and mentally. And we need some mental training. And we need some physical training. Is that right? But the church also trains you spiritually. In other words, my job as a pastor is not just come to tell you to do like this five times a day. Physical training, jump up and down and, you know, and do some aerobic exercise. Or I'm not coming to tell you how to be a good neurosurgeon. That is mental mind. But I'm coming here as a pastor to teach you how to walk spiritually, how to hook up to the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. Because the power in your life comes from walking in the Spirit, not in the mind or in the physical. You need to learn. So therefore, the style of my preaching and teaching is quite unique. And sometimes you say, why he's talking about all these things? You know, I come to learn how to do this, how to do that. No, I'm not trying to teach you how to do, but I'm trying to tell you the way you can commune and fellowship with the Spirit of God. How you can walk hand in hand, arms in arms with the Spirit every single day. So that you can walk of the life of victory, the life of power, the life of supernatural. No Christian should be walking in the supernatural, because we have the supernatural God. Amen? Amen. So we need to understand the background of my teaching and preaching. That what I'm trying, this is a school. The church is like a school of life, but spiritual life as well. So we try to train you on the spiritual side, not just the mental side. James chapter 4, verse 5. The Bible says, Or do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the Spirit whom He has caused to dwell in us, the Spirit whom the Father has caused to dwell in us, yearns over us, and He yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. My dear brother and sister, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, whom God the Father sent to dwell in you, if you are a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Is that right? And the Holy Spirit longs for, intensely, consistently, to fellowship and have an intimate communion and fellowship with you. He wants to have a fellowship with you. Amen? So, you need to understand, in order to walk with the Holy Spirit, in order to walk in the power of God, you need to know the person of the Holy Spirit and have the intimate relationship with Him. In other words, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to have rivals. You need to love Him more than the world. You need to love Him, seek Him more than money. No rivals, no competitors. He is number one in your life. The Holy Spirit must be number one in relationship. He comes first. And I'm going to show you many scriptures later on. Amen. James chapter 4 verse 8 say, come close to God and He will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hand clean. Mean repent, shape up your life. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. God said that, draw near to Me. God is sitting there waiting for you. If you draw near to Him first, you draw near to Him in your spirit. You draw near to Him physically by coming to church, come to the altar call, come to be laid hand on, come to the prayer meeting. You draw near to Him and He said He will draw near to you. And this can happen anywhere, anytime. It can happen in your bedroom. It can happen in your car. It can happen in during the surgery. It can happen in the classroom. God, when you draw near to God, this happened to me all the time. When I was driving on the freeway and I began to just fall in love with God and just say, God, I loved You. And I begin to sing praises and worship song to Him. Oh, suddenly the presence of God show up. Suddenly I almost get drunk in the car. I began to laugh and I begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit because I draw near to God. Anywhere, I draw near to God in the surgery, in the operating room. Everywhere you can draw near to God, seeking Him. Amen. Long for you. He longs for you and you long for Him. It's a relationship, like a husband and a wife. Amen? The word fellowship means spiritual intimacy, means spiritual intercourse, very close together. The Bible, Jesus say like this in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I will go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Amen. Jesus said, it's better, it's to your advantage that He goes away, that He went away. And He will send the Helper. Do you know that you have the Helper on the inside of you? He is the Counselor. He is another person of the same kind. He is another person of the same kind. I mean, He is like Jesus, but another person. God has three parts, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father is sitting on the throne, taking care of the universe. When He said yes, yes happened. When He said no, no happened. He didn't have to move anything. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to die on the cross for our sin so that we can be saved from hell and from the punishment of sin. And after He was raised from the dead, He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But then after he went up to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in every believer all over the world. That's why when God called himself, he called himself us, or we. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image. Us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. You see, one sentence talk about three parts of God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth. And with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So the key of powerful life is the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God that God sent the Holy Spirit to us. Because if he did not send the Holy Spirit to us, we're going to have to fly to Jerusalem to meet Jesus. Not only that, Jesus could talk to one person at one time. And if I try to compete with Tom, pirate, I may be defeated because he talked faster than me. If I try to go to Jesus, pirate gonna stand in front of me and say, Jesus, I talk first. I'm faster. I'm a salesman, salesperson. Then I never talk to Jesus. When I gonna go walk in again, then John Wilde come in and say, oh, Jesus, I have something to talk to you. Then Pastor Lau gonna stand there because I'm a quiet guy. I never talk to Jesus. John Wilde and Tom gonna keep talking to Jesus. No one can come to Jesus except both of them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank God that we all, millions of Christians, can talk to God at the same time, at anywhere, at any place, at any time, because Jesus has to sleep. You cannot talk to Jesus at 3 a.m. He needs to sleep. But we can talk to Jesus, to the Spirit of Jesus at 3 a.m. on the airplane, in the restroom, in the whatever, any place. Amen. Hallelujah. I try to wake you up. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that this is so important to our spiritual life, to the point that the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, really are very protective of the Holy Spirit. You know that the Bible never said that your sin of blaspheming the Father will not be forgiven. The Bible never said that your sin of blaspheming Jesus will not be forgiven. But the Bible said your sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Oh, this is serious. If Holy Spirit is moving in a church and you stand there and you kind of, talk down to the Holy Spirit, the Bible says it will not be forgiven. It means that the Father and the Son gave so much importance and the significance and the emphasis on the work and the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need to honor the Holy Spirit. We need to really understand about Him and walk with Him. Even the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, do not quench the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sometimes come like a mighty rushing winds. Sometimes the Holy Spirit come like a dove, very gentle. Like a just gentle whispering into your spirit. The Holy Spirit can move in a different way. Look at what Paul summarized in his writing to one of the most carnal churches in the whole world. That church named Corinth, the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth has so many problems. They fought, they put their own brother to court, they commit adultery, they lie, they just have a lot of carnalities and sin in the church. And look at how Paul concludes that, how to stop all this stuff, all this sinful stuff in the church. How to build a holy church and pure church. This is what he concludes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. How many people want to overcome sin in your life? How many people want to live a life of holiness? You know, this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. In other words, if you depend on the grace of the Lord Jesus, you depend on the love of God, you really love God, And the last one, and the presence and fellowship, the communion, the sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. If you can depend on the grace of God, of Jesus Christ, you can love God with all your heart. And one of the most important things, if you have a deep, intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Amen. The carnality in your life will be destroyed. It will be killed, will be crucified. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives you power to overcome the carnal flesh, the sinful nature in your life. I have been building this church for almost 17, 18 years now. I can see the two phases of this church. The first phase between 1988 to 1997, 1998. Our church had a lot of problems, quarreling, jealousy, problem and problem and problem. And I tried to teach and preach, but people still have a lot of carnalities in the church. 1997, 1998, 1998, revival come to the church. We start to move in the Holy Spirit. People begin to walk in the Spirit of God. Since then, the church is full of love and joy. People love one another. All the conflict in the church start to resolve. You know, unity come. People, the husband and wife, start to love one another more. I and my wife relationship is tremendously improved by the touch of the fire of God, by the Spirit of God. Amen. I mean, my wife can be a witness how terrible a husband I was. I was a terrible husband before 1998, even though I was a pastor. I was not sensitive to her. I was very mean to her. I was very controlling. I was not very sensitive at all. But by the grace of God, she still lived with me, didn't divorce me. But after I was touched by the fire of God and I began to have an intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, my life has turned around 180 degrees. That's why Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Now you understand why this pastor keep bringing the issue of the Holy Spirit to the church, because I have the first-hand experience of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I have gone through that already, the stage of having the word, 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 the word. Do. Word. Doing good things. But my life never changed that much. Until one day the Holy Spirit started to move in my life. And I begin to change. Amen? So that's why we will never stop welcoming the Holy Spirit in the church. Now I'm going to read to you the scripture, scripture after scripture, to see that the early church Christians were controlled, were working with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read many scripture here to help you to understand that. What I'm talking about here is not just about 2006, but it's beginning from the early church already. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, then I read from Amplified Bible. Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go forward and join yourself to this chariot." You can see that Philip was led by the Spirit. Amen. If you want to be a good minister, a successful businessman, a good teacher, good engineer, successful architect, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you how you're going to write a plan. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you what to say to your customer, what to do with your patients, what to do with your student. The Holy Spirit can lead you in anything in your life, not just only the church on Sunday. It's about 24/7. Amen. That's what the revival service is going to come about. When we have revival service once a month, that is a time that we train you to soak into the Holy Spirit, touched by the Spirit, yield to the Spirit. And because if you can practice that on a regular basis, when you get out of this door of the church and get into the world, you can be led by the Holy Spirit easily. It's a training thing. You need to be trained how to walk by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, sometimes people make minor issue major and make major issue minor. Is that right? You know, what I try to say is this. The major issue about this, that what I'm talking about here, is the infilling and the walking in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That is a major issue. That I will be filled and led by the Spirit of God. But instead of looking at that major issue, sometimes people look at the minor issue. Minor issue, for example, why you have to lie people up. Why people have to fall down. Why people have to laugh. Why people do that and do that. That's a minor issue. For me, if God tell me you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you put your head down on the ground and put your feet up on the ceiling and just clap your feet in the air, and you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and everybody come going to get healed by you, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to put my head down, put my feet in the air. I don't care. That is minor issue. In fact, people always ask, where is in the Bible? Let me ask this way. Where is in the Bible that people put chair like this in the Bible? There's no such thing in the Bible. The early church, they lie, they sit on the ground and sit like this. Is that right? Yeah, on Sunday, they're on the ground. They don't have chair. So we are unbiblical then, but we sit on the chair. This is minor issue. The major issue is the Holy Ghost. The major issue is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have more power, to walk in the power of God. Amen. That's a major issue. Amen. Amen. The devil lies to us to try to use theology, to try to come and quench the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, I get on fire right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit like Philip, like Paul, like Peter. Look at the Bible say in Acts chapter 10, verses 19 to 21, and why Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it. The Holy Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Get up and go below and accompany them without any doubt about its legality and any discrimination or hesitation, because they are not Jews. For I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men and said, I am the man you seek. What is the purpose of your coming? Wow. Peter was led by the Holy Spirit. I tell you one thing. Anything that is birthed by the leading of the Holy Spirit will produce fruit and will last long. Look at Isaac. Isaac was produced by the promise and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But Ishmael was the product of the flesh, the plan of man. This morning when I get up and pray to God, God, I want to see a big church. But big is one thing. If big that come from my flesh, it will not last. It will one day disappear. But I want to build something in this church that is birthed by the Spirit of God. And that birth is going to last to the end time. Amen. Amen. Yes. We want to, everything in our life, whether marriage, anything, should be birthed by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to last long. It's going to be fruitful. Amen. Are you listening? Do you understand? I try to help you to understand, look at, from the biblical perspective, looking from heavenly perspective here. Acts chapter 11, 27 to 28. And during these days, prophets, inspired teachers, and interpreters of the divine will and purpose came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and prophesied through the pizza. Is that right? No. Because last night he ate pizza too much. To have a dream and have a special prophecy? No. Through the Holy Spirit, that a great and severe famine would come upon the whole world. Wow. Prophesied by the Holy Spirit, not by eating pizza or sushi. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. You see how God sent people out to plant church, not by the plan of man. We don't send people by the plan of man. We send people out by the leading of the Holy Spirit. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, separate now for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. If you go out to do something because of the human plan, you're going to suffer and you're going to struggle and struggle and struggle. But if you go out because the Holy Spirit sent you, because the Holy Spirit tell you to do, it's gonna produce fruit. It's gonna be fruitful and full of rivers and refreshing. When the river come, the tree will grow, produce fruit, the leaf will come out, and it's gonna be abundance. It's gonna be refreshed. Amen? Refreshing. Because the Holy Spirit is there, is birthed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at Acts. I like this one. Acts chapter 15, 27, 28. Listen carefully. I love this one. So we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will bring you the same message by word of mouth. Listen to this scripture. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to lay upon you any greater burden than this indispensable requirements. Wow, this is a powerful scripture. Can you say like this? It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me. In other words, it's a what? Partnership. And the Bible did not say like this. It seemed good to me and then the Holy Spirit. Who come first?
The Holy Spirit.
It seemed good to the Holy Spirit who is leading me, so I agree with him to do this thing together. Amen? I know that the Holy Spirit told me to produce CD. No question at all. I know in my heart, because when I sit at home, I feel inside me, the pumping inside me, go record CD, send to Thailand, send all over the world. And I know that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me and to the church to produce that CD. No question at all. It seemed good. Can you say like this every single day? It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me to marry that woman. It seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit that I can start that care group. It seemed good to me and to the Holy Spirit that I would send this gift to that person. Everything partnership with the Holy Spirit. The church should live that kind of lifestyle. Is that you consult, you get counseling from the Spirit of the living God in every issue in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Believe me, if you listen to the Holy Spirit very much, you will eat less. You will lose your weight. You will not get overweight. I'm serious. And that happened to me. I eat and talk to God. Suddenly God says, stop. Don't eat too much. I don't want you to gain too much weight. I want you to live a long life and no diabetes, no problem. Amen. I'm not attacking anyone in this room. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I love all of you. No personal here. Amen. I don't look at the eyes. So, you know, everything, God will tell you what to do. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to you. Have a personal relationship with God. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to hate anybody, to attack anybody. You know, we stop having that habit now, criticize people. We used to quit. I mean, we, not we. I. Oh, I'm in trouble. In trouble. No, I criticize to her so she listen. That's why I say we. But I criticize. I used to criticize people a lot. And lately, the Holy Spirit really deal with me. He say, doesn't seem good to me, to Holy Spirit, to criticize. Stop, shut your mouth, and don't touch anybody. You just love people. You just think about positive about people. Don't even touch any. Actually, one day I woke up and God said like this to me. You know, your relationship with other Christians in other churches are based on Jesus Christ, not on the name of denomination.
Amen.
So don't attack other denominations. Don't attack them. What they do is not your business. I repent. And that seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me. Not criticize any denomination. Amen. It seemed good. Everyone say, it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Amen. We should live that kind of lifestyle. Amen. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 7. And Paul and Silas passed through the territory of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the word in the province of Asia. And when they had come opposite Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. My dear brother and sister, Paul and Silas were led by the Holy Spirit not to go into one city, even though they planned to, and they change their direction. My dear brother and sister, in your business, in your life, in your family, making decision of buying a house, buying a car, having a baby, whatever, be led by the Holy Spirit, because so that you will not make mistake. So you will save millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you don't have that much, you may say, I can save $20 instead of losing that money because I make the wrong choice, make wrong decision. Ask God. Being led by God. God loves you. God wants the best for your life. God wants the best plan for your life. Let Him lead you. Pull down your control.
Yes.
Don't have too much. You know, a lot of time because of man's pride. You know, everyone has some level of pride. How many people agree that all of us have some level of pride? I have too. I have some level of pride. If we can pull down the pride, pride say like this, I'm going to control my mental capacity. I'm going to control what I think. I'm going to control my destiny, my future. If you can give that up and give to the Holy Spirit, let Him lead you and pull down your pride, you're going to live a supernatural, victorious life, because you know what? God knows better than you. God knows the future. God knows what He's doing. He never say, oops. He never makes mistake. Is that right? Pull down your pride and let God lead you. And that's what happened to me. I give you example. One day, a rheumatologist called me up and said, Dr. Lau, I want to send a lot of patients to you. I said, what kind? Fibromyalgia. When I listen, you know, whoever heard that word, chronic pain, chronic morphine, chronic problem, I don't want to touch these patients. They have problems. I say, why? He said that I've discovered that this patient needs surgery. I said, but it's not in the textbook. I never learned from University of Washington. Never been recorded in any textbook, any medical school. He said that, but can you please help me? I believe that it will help. While I was listening to this man from Renton, a doctor from Renton, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Take it. I'm going to feed you with this thing. You will have more money come in because of this thing. I say, yes, send in. Okay, I listen to the Holy Ghost. The first patient show up, have pain for 15 years. Could not put makeup on, could not sleep. She looked thin, she looked depressed, taking all the antidepressant. I operate on her. 2 weeks later, she came back for follow-up. She was having makeup, sleep well, her face full of glory, and she's a Christian too. And she said, whatever you want, I'm going to write up anything to put in the website for you. I am cured by your surgery. I was like, wow, I never heard of this in the medical school, but now. And since then, I see about maybe three to 10 patients a week. And by the way, this kind of surgery make a lot of money too. Don't tell anybody. So, God feed me. Yes. Monopoly. Only two surgeons in America operate on this kind. One is in Milwaukee and one here. Only I and him. Monopoly. Amen. And I tell my friend, hey, I have a good news for you. You can operate on this kind of patient. They all look at me. You stupid. What are you talking about? We don't believe it. It's up to you. So I go on. Hallelujah. All the patients come to me. Hallelujah. Don't tell anybody. Okay, this is secret. Hallelujah. You see, God can lead you, can tell you what to do. Amen. It's real. Amen. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled. Sometimes God has to compel you because, you know, sometimes we have a little bit of stubbornness. And God has to kind of push you a little bit. You know, God has to force you a little bit, compel you by the Spirit and testify to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. God, the Holy Spirit, will help you if you have an intimate fellowship with Him. Therefore, brother and sister, don't pull off from the Holy Spirit. Don't be scared of the Holy Spirit. Don't criticize. Welcome and love the Holy Spirit. He is here as your helper. He is here with you as your counselor. He wants to do the full things for you, full measure. He is in sitting in the inside of you right now. Everyone, can you turn to each other and say, He is in you right now. He's in you. He's in you. But listen carefully. But why somebody is led by the Holy Spirit more than another person? Why somebody is more powerful than another person? You know, the answer is this. It's the degree of your yielding and knowing Him. Amen. The same Holy Ghost, the same big Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead and created the heavens and the earth is living on the inside of you. Amen. The same one.
Amen.
But some of you kind of still sit on your throne and say, Holy Spirit, quiet, shut your mouth. I know how to run my life. So the more you yield, the more you know about Him, you know Him. Not only yield, but you need to know Him, who He is and how He works. I mean, definitely you don't know everything about Him because the Bible compared the Holy Spirit to the wind. The wind blow come here and there. You cannot predict what the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life. Actually, I never thought about planting a church in Thailand at all. In fact, I love Japan so much. I want to go to Japan. But the Holy Spirit shut that off right now and say, you go to Thailand first, your home country. Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit blow me to Thailand, not to Japan. But we're going to go to Japan one day. Because one sister in Thailand going to go. She speaks Japanese fluently. She's going to go to Osaka and start a church there.
Amen.
From Thailand. She is half Japanese, half Thai. Amen. So God going to blow here and there. So you need to be let you. How much you yield? I think that is everyone say it's the degree of how much I yield and how much I know Him. Amen. Now I want to train you. I'm training our church to learn how to walk in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting this?
Amen.
In Acts chapter 19, verse 21, now after these events, Paul determined in what? In his mental capacity, in his Bible school knowledge, in his, scholarship, in his going through many leadership training classes. No. In the Holy Spirit, that he would travel to Macedonia and Achaia, most of Greece, and to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must visit Rome also. So in other words, everything Paul did, he consulted with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 20, verses 21 to 23, but constantly and earnestly I bore testimony, both to Jews and Greeks, urging them to turn in repentance, that is due to God, and to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that is due Him. And now you see, I am going to Jerusalem, bound by the Holy Spirit, and obligated and compelled by the convictions of my own spirit, not knowing what will befall me therefore, except that the Holy Spirit clearly and emphatically affirms to me. Wow. Paul, everything he did, it was affirmed by the Holy Spirit. He is a spiritual man. The meaning of being spiritual man doesn't mean that you have a special shirt with a turtleneck and with a big cross on your neck, with a big Bible walking around and speak religiously like, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, like this. No. A spiritual man is not a religious man. Not dressing like a priest or as some kind of religious person. Not acting religious. A spiritual man is a man or a woman, is a person who is led by the Holy Spirit. Working with the Holy Spirit. Not led by the carnality, not by the flesh, not by their only mental capacity. Amen?
Amen.
I noticed in Northwest here area, it's easier in Thailand and in some developing country. Because they just come and hungry for God, so God moves easily. I notice in Northwest, we have so many educated people. Many Microsoft, they turn on the computer and they can control their mouse very quickly. Download, upload, pop, 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 pop. Oh, they're so smart mentally. And many times, People so smart in Northwest area. And a lot of time because of the smartness, they lead their life, they are leading their life by using their mental capacity. They are not leading their life by the heart. If you want to walk a Christian life, you need to be led by the heart, not by the mental capacity only. I mean, you need your brain. Don't take me wrong. You don't cut your brain off. You need your brain to understand and to think. But after you think and you understand, you let the Holy Spirit inside your heart or your spirit to lead you. And sometimes the Holy Spirit may tell you to do something unreasonable or unusual or untraditional. Like you remember Jesus one day, he spit on the ground and get the saliva to put on somebody's eyes. Wow, if the pastor do that, I will clean out the church very fast. The church will be empty very fast. Is that right? So, you see, he was led by the Holy Spirit. So please, sometime you need to shut off your head. You need to listen to your heart. Amen. Shut off your head. When you come to the prayer line, don't come and begin to analyze, oh, how God going to heal me? Oh, how he going to touch me? Why I have to fall? Why I have to cry? Why? You keep thinking and the hand lay hand on you and then pass by, nothing happened because you use your head. You don't come with your heart to receive. You need to come with your heart. That's why the Bible says the kingdom of God is for those who are like children. Because children usually use the heart more than the head. But when we grow up, we become too prideful and become more sophisticated. Very sophisticated. And start to think too much. Everything like, oh, analyze. Oh, think. Nothing wrong about thinking. But come to the heart. Amen. Be led by the heart. Amen. Wow, so quiet around here. I'm not attacking anyone. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Okay, let me read one more scripture, and then I will continue next Sunday. The Holy Spirit was in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Okay, Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience, enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with me that I have bitter grief and incessant anguish in my heart. Wow. Paul was controlled by the Holy Spirit. His conscience was really enlightened, revealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I give you example. One day I was spending time with God, and the Holy Spirit really convicted my heart, my conscience. He said to me that, Mom, my nickname, Mom, you have not been nice to your wife enough. From now on, you need to say, I love you more. You need to really treat her special. You need to think this way. It's a privilege to live with you. It's and just want to be around her and want to love her and want to kind of, you know, just fall in love again like many years ago. Like, just keep falling in love. And I was so convicted in my conscience by the Holy Spirit. And I said, yes, Lord, help me. I know what is the right thing to do, but I cannot do it myself. Holy Spirit, help me. And he did. Since that time on, I just like to be around, close to her. Actually, I'm not a very touching person by background. I'm very kind of not like to be touchy. But since then, I like to just be around her. Oh, you know, just love to be around and just value and just... Just every time I look at her, and I feel like, oh, God, it's a privilege to live with this woman. I don't take it for granted anymore that she marry me. A beautiful woman marry a not-looking guy, a guy not good-looking like me. Oh, what a privilege. Amen. You know, when she fell in love with me many years ago, I have a lot of pimples. And I don't know why she likes me. Lots of pimples. Oh, the whole face. So it's a privilege, it's an honor. Husband, can you turn to your wife and say, it's my privilege. Aww. Do it now. Yeah. To live with you. Look at her eyes. Look at her eyes. to live with you. Amen. And this is just one of the examples that the Holy Spirit convicts your conscience, your heart. That's why I want to see that all of us are the Christians who are walking in the Spirit, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit. He is your helper. Amen. Next Sunday, I would like to teach about the benefits, the personal benefit of speaking and praying in tongues in detail. Let me be clear to all the whole congregation right now. When I teach about the Holy Spirit like this, it doesn't mean that I downgrade the issue of family. I downgrade the issue of submission. I downgrade the issue of how to take care of your finances. I downgrade the issue of love and faith and other issues. No. I have only 1 hour on Sunday. I need to focus on one thing. And I teach about that thing. And maybe 2 months later, I begin to teach about money. When I teach about money, it doesn't mean I downgrade about the Holy Spirit. No. But we just want to go deeper right now in the teaching about the Holy Spirit, about speaking in tongues. I don't downgrade other issues. I just want to put deeper in the teaching so you understand and you will be able to walk rhythmically with God. Amen? You understand my purpose here? It's not about looking down on other issues in the Bible. No. We want the whole Bible. We want to teach everything in the Bible. Amen? Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us by your Holy Spirit. I know, Father, that their understanding is not limited by my knowledge, because their real teacher is the Holy Spirit. And while I'm speaking and teaching, your Holy Spirit can speak to them, can teach them deep inside their heart, and they will have a deeper understanding of the mysteries and the hidden truth of God. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that your people in this church will not be just the hearers of the word, but they will be doers of the word. They will get the result in their life. They will be spiritual people, Father, and they will walk in the power of God. Father, we thank you so much that you have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave, in the tomb, but he was raised from the dead by the powerful Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,